never said I oppose fracking.
Show the tape. Put it on your website. Put it on the website.
Live from Clark Studios in Rochester, New York, broadcasting around the world. You're listening to You Made It Political, where the voice of the keyboard warrior is finally heard and the arguments presented are put to the political test. And now, here's your host, Matt Clark.
Good morning, America. Welcome to another episode of You Made It Political. We stream live every single morning here from Rochester, New York, live on Facebook, YouTube, and Rumble, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We post all the replays up to our site, youmadeitpolitical.com. So if you have family and friends who don't like to go on social media anymore, or they're just done with all the drama, all of the hatred, all of the political nonsense that we face on a daily basis, tell them to go over to youmadeitpolitical.com and they can catch all the episodes there. We also post all the replays onto your favorite podcast platforms, Amazon Music, Spotify, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Today, we're going to discuss a very sad situation that I've come to realize since moving back to the United States in 2017. For those of you who don't know, I actually lived abroad for 15 years. I left in 2004. I headed to Shanghai, China, spent 10 years in Asia, beautiful country, beautiful continent, really got to know the Asian culture. It was the best years of my life, despite the fact that I lived in a communist country. Oh, the irony. After that, we moved over to the UK for 5 years. So my son was born in 2017, and we decided to move back to the United States. If I had any idea what was about to happen, I would have never come here in a million years. Listen, America used to be land of the free, home of the brave. Well, there's nothing free about this country anymore. We know that. We've seen what happened over the last few months with the coronavirus pandemic. We've seen how Americans have gone from brave to absolute cowards. I mean, this is what the pandemic's done. If there's one thing I learned from the pandemic, it's how sick and mentally disturbed half this country really is. I mean, that is the deal. We used to be brave. We used to be free. Equity, sponsored by the Democrats, is killing this country. I mean, it's destroying America. This whole notion of everything needs to be fair. Everything needs to be a level playing field. Everybody gets first place is what is destroying America right before our eyes. In just the few years that I've moved back to this country, I've seen us go from an America first Trump ideology that really started driving this country in the direction that we as Americans have been so lucky to be a part of our entire lives, to mass destruction. America last, immigrants first, cowards on every corner that you turn, and complete government overreach. America has gone to absolute shit. I mean, Trump was right during one of his rallies. He said everything woke turns to shit. Well, that's what's happening right now. It's happening in our schools. It's happening in our government. It's happening in corporate America. The American dream is dead. And I keep asking myself, why have we gotten to this point? Why has America let this country get so bad that people are happy to bury their heads in the sands, ignore the truth, ignore the data, ignore the facts, and are so willing to comply? It's because they lost faith in themselves. They lost faith in the fact that they're ever going to be ultra successful, that they're ever going to be able to really achieve the American dream. It's a very sad reality, but I'm not surprised. And I'll tell you why I saw this coming. When I lived in China from 2004 to 2014, by far the best years of China's history. I literally watched Shanghai, China go up, be built, right in front of my eyes. There was so much money being thrown at the Chinese. There was so much money booming in the stock market. I watched the Chinese go from poverty to mega, mega wealthy in the span of 10 years. I witnessed it firsthand. I too was fortunate enough to be caught in the crossfire of tremendous economic growth. I saw how happy the Chinese were. For the first time in their lives, they got a real taste of success. They got a real taste of wealth. And they were splashing cash and they were having the time of their lives, and the economy was booming. It was like being on Wall Street in the early 80s all over again. It was absolutely amazing to see. But something happened towards the end of my tenure in China. As 2013 rolled around, the government started to shift. Hu Jintao was no longer the president, who I loved, by the way. And we had a new guy come in office. And his one mission in life was to not only bring down the corruption, which can be a good thing, but it can also really hurt an emerging market like China. Because let's be honest, all that corruption was actually fueling a lot of the private sector. Now, I don't condone corruption in any way, but let's not kid ourselves. The economy took a drastic hit as that corruption came to an end. But it also did something that was very sad for the Chinese people. They changed the rules. Just like that, they changed the rules overnight. Now, in a communist country, you can do that. The one downside of that is that if you don't expect the rules to be changed, you can't get ready for those rules. You can't start to mold your business. You just don't have enough time to adapt with the times in order to thrive with the new rules. So as this new president came in and started making things extremely unpractical and just really making things difficult for the Chinese people, they started to lose hope. That is our pandemic today. The pandemic has caused Americans to lose hope. They've caused Americans to give up because so many rules have been changed. We've had our hands tied behind our back for too long now that a lot of Americans who used to be ambitious and used to get up and work towards the American dream every single day are now giving up because they feel that there's no hope in America anymore. America has gone from America, home of the brave, land of the free, to America, the broken. And the FAA and tyrannical overreach, like we're seeing today, is not making things any better. We are kicking passengers off planes because we can't get their two-year-olds to put a mask on. We're kicking passengers who have supported these airlines for decades, who have chosen to fly with one single airline and given all their money to one single airline because they enjoyed flying these airlines, are now quick to turn their backs on these passengers. And they can care less how many miles they've racked up. They can care less how much money they've given them. So now we have the FAA wanting to put airlines on notice amid a surge in disturbing trends among passengers. And this is just another example of the government overreach that we've experienced here in America time and time again. We've all seen the videos, which I'll play for you in a second. We're seeing it in school. We're seeing it in corporate America. And we're seeing it in the travel sector. Everywhere you turn as an American, you can't escape the tyrannical BS. You cannot escape it. So after a while, it's going to put its toll on the American people. It's really going to destroy the motivation that we wake up to every day, our ambitions in life, and say, you know what? The hell with it. I'm done. What am I fighting for? Every single day I wake up to fight for the American dream, I get knocked back or knocked down by tyrannical overreach. And when you thought you were safe within the private sector or flying an airline that you've given all of your money to, suddenly they start to all turn on you as well. And it's happening every single day. So I don't blame Americans for not wanting to make an effort anymore. I don't blame them for saying, the hell with it, I'm closing my business, because they don't know what the rules are anymore. Just like when I left China in 2013, I saw the writing on the wall. I sold my business, and sure enough, the country went to absolute shit. 10 years of economic boom, growth, wealth. 10 years of these people working so hard to build everything, to give their life savings, to make something for themselves. It all got wiped out in the matter of a single year. And what happened? The Chinese went from happy, went from working hard to achieve their own version of the American dream, suddenly turned angry. They turned angry. And I saw it. And they attacked the wealthy. They went after anybody that achieved something that they didn't. They went from ambitious to envious in a matter of months. And I see that's what's happening now here in America. And it doesn't help when these people who are hanging on their last thread, who are trying to wake up and stay motivated to then fly somewhere finally for a vacation, to then get told they need to get off the plane because their two-year-old won't cooperate. And now the FAA is coming down on all of us because, of course, Biden and the Democrats and the tyrannical government are saying, hey, we don't like these videos that we're seeing of people not wearing masks. We want you to now to start doing our dirty work and enforce tyranny on your airlines. And we saw it a few weeks ago with the vaccine mandates. They said, hey, OSHA, you need to be our lapdog. You need to do our dirty work. You need to get America under control, our control. The pattern continues across industry after industry after industry. And I don't understand why half of America can't see it. I don't understand why they are so blind and naive and don't understand that they are being absolute cowards amongst this entire pandemic. Instead of fighting the American way, they've chosen to do the exact opposite. It started with the schools and the teachers' unions. The Democrats made the teachers' unions do their dirty work. The teachers' unions passed the buck down to the Department of Health. The Department of Health passed the buck down to the superintendents. It then trickles into the private sector. Democrats and the Biden administration force OSHA to do their dirty work. Once again, passing the buck. And now what's happening here on the airlines? The FAA is being told to do the government's dirty work, to put airlines on notice. I mean, since when does our government get to treat us like children across every single sector? When do the American people say, you know what, Biden, screw off. We are done with your BS. When do the teachers' unions stand up to this tyrannical overreach? But then again, let's not kid ourselves. We know they are part of the problem. We know the teachers' unions are in bed with the government. So when does the Department of Health say we've had enough? When do the superintendents say we've had enough? So we know passing the buck is a very Democrat thing. We saw it just a few weeks ago with the botched Afghanistan evacuation. To this day, Biden still wants to pass the buck and pass the blame on President Trump. So notice how he never wants to take credit for anything that's gone horribly wrong, but he's the first one to praise himself when things do go right, which, to be honest, I don't know that a single thing has gone right since the Democrats took control of the White House. We have immigration issues. We have issues in our schools with our children. We now have issues on our airlines that Biden and the Democrats continue to do everything they can to maintain control over. So it's disgusting right now. And this is what America has come to. Airlines are kicking these families off because their little two-year-olds won't wear a mask. You've seen the videos, but I'm going to play this one for you again.
We just got kicked off the flight because our two-year-old would not put on a mask, and we tried. I mean, I'm going to put a video on. And they're sending all of our bags and Adeline's car seat to New York, and we're banned off of United forever because a two-year-old would not put on a mask.
So this poor girl and her family, because a two-year-old, are banned now forever. Forever. I mean, I have never even heard of anybody being banned off of an airline forever, unless, of course, you're a terrorist or you're put on a no-flight list. But since when do we start banning these innocent families for not wearing a mask and not just like kicking them off the plane for a day or two, but making sure that they never, ever fly again? I mean, this is absolutely disgusting. And this is why. It's all because of this here.
Let me say this, I'm talking to you, okay?
So you can clearly see that. I mean, these people are trying to put this mask on their kid. I mean, it's disgusting. I hate this stuff. I hate seeing this. I can't believe that this is where we are in America right now, where we can't even travel without this tyrannical overreach infiltrating every aspect of our life. I mean, this is just disgusting. So now this is the point where the stewardess comes over and says, listen, you guys got to leave. You can't get your kid under control. You got to leave.
We can't force her. She's literally holding it and she's crying.
You're going to do this to us? Like right now? Yeah? Wow.
All right, let's go.
Your jacket's up there.
Okay. Go.
And you know what really just kind of disturbs me about this whole thing is that the rest of the passengers on the plane are just sitting there like a deer in headlights and have absolutely nothing to say about the situation. We're not helping each other out. We're not trying to lift each other up. We're not coming together to go up against this tyranny. We're allowing it time and time again. Here's another video of a passenger and their family getting kicked off because the two-year-old is crying, scared to death of this mask suffocating her face. And all the passengers around them are okay with it.
What did they do?
I told you, non-compliance, we'll have to get off.
I didn't want to do this.
Did you have to pick up your stuff?
What did I do? What did we do?
I'm sorry. What you want?
Okay, no problem. Just tell me what we did.
Non-compliance with the mask.
We're wearing a mask.
We're wearing a mask.
She's not wearing it.
Baby? Wearing a mask.
A lot of kids
are
wearing a mask.
You've
been sitting next to me. Was I wearing a mask?
He was wearing it the whole time.
Guys, was I wearing a mask all along, everybody?
I'm sorry.
But the kids want this baby.
I'll make sure he wears it. Everything's gonna be fine.
I'm sorry.
I'll make sure that they're wearing it, okay?
Special
needs child and a 2-year-old.
I understand.
Right.
Not my choice.
Whose choice? Bring him here.
Why would you make waste time to do this?
I'm sorry, but she has.
So this is a 2-year-old, a special needs child, who just cannot wear the mask. And these airlines, this is Spirit Airlines, kicking off an entire family over their two-year-old that was not wearing a mask while she was eating. She was eating. Is this really happening in America right now? Is this really the level of tyranny that we're all going to start to accept as the new norm? So when I started the show, I did say this is not, you know, I don't want to hear that we're land of the free anymore, because we are not land of the free. This BS is not freedom. These people are not causing any issues whatsoever. And now the FAA has the audacity to now say, hey, and by the way, we don't want to see any more of this nonsense. Get it together, or we're going to step in. I mean, what exactly have these people done wrong that we need to get it together? I mean, there have been a few cases of children who don't want to wear a mask, and all of a sudden the FAA goes apeshit and wants to start coming down on all of these airlines and say, hey, listen, we're putting you on notice. There's been a surge in disturbing trends among passengers. Now, listen, I understand if there's a few drunk assholes out there. I get it. That's fine. Or if there's a grown man like myself who I'm not willing to put on the mask. I get it. It's a private business. You're allowed to mandate that on your private airline. That's fine. Kick me off. I deserve it. I don't think that I really deserve to get arrested, but your airline, your rules. But these little children, and now the FAA stepping in and say, we don't want to see this nonsense anymore. We want these kids off your planes, and we want stricter measures. So exactly what do the FAA airlines want? Well, they want, they're urging representatives of major U.S. airlines to come up with ways that they can do more to stop the surge of reported unruly passenger incidents. So now these are unruly passenger incidents. These little two-year-olds, not, and special needs, by the way, are now considered unruly and asked to lay out those plans in a matter of days. So the agency sat down with industry groups, including Airlines for America and the Regional Airline Association, saying in a statement following the meeting that the FAA asked the airlines to commit to take more action and tell the FAA in a week the additional steps they will implement during the next month to curb unruly behavior. So the FAA's appeal for assistance from airlines is the latest move in a crackdown, okay, because these little two-year-olds are really disrupting airlines, a crackdown against passengers that don't follow mask guidelines. See what this is about? I have flown my whole life. I have been on planes where people are so obnoxiously drunk that they're practically brawling in the back of the plane and nothing has ever been done about it. The FAA's never once come in and said, hey, you guys better get your airlines in order or we're going to start imposing stricter regulations on you or we're going to take control. Never have I seen this. Where was all this FAA tyranny back in 2011 or 2001 during 9/11? We didn't see this aggression from the FAA. Yes, they took action. They made our airlines safer, but we didn't see rhetoric like this. We're putting you on notice and you better get in line and do what we say. Otherwise, we're going to shut you down. It has nothing to do with drunk assholes, potential terrorists, weapons being brought on planes. No, it all has to do with a mask mandate. This is where all this is stemming from, a freaking mask. And this is where I want to reiterate the fact that I think, actually I know, that half of America is sick. Half of you have mental problems. I'm not afraid to say it. This country is mentally ill. It's an illness now. If you're still wearing a mask alone in your car, you have issues. You are mentally ill. If you're still masking your kid up at a grocery store, I'm sorry. I don't care what the schools say or have to say about anything. I don't give a shit what the Department of Health has to say about a goddamn thing. If you're still masking your little kids up on the playground, you have an issue. You are the problem. Now, I know most of my viewers wouldn't dream of it in a million years. So I know pretty much every single one of you watching this live right now wouldn't even think of putting that face diaper on your kid's face anywhere you absolutely didn't have to. Now, I understand a lot of you have to send your kids to school. You do. You got to. That's fine. I completely sympathize and I understand that. And they have to wear a mask in public schools and many of the private schools. You want your kid to have an education. You have to go to work and pay your bills. You have to make a living. I get it. And I am not slamming that at all. Full disclosure, I'm one of them. I send my kid to school. He has to wear the mask sometimes. I want his education. I'm not a homeschooler type. So I'm not slamming any of you who send your kid to school with a mask on, because I do it myself. I do it myself and I understand. But it's any situation outside of the fact that you don't have to put a mask on your kid. If you're still doing that to your children, you have a real serious problem. This is you having an issue. Personally, mentally, this is not a pandemic thing anymore. This is half of America being freaking crazy and going along with the narrative because they are sick in the freaking head. Michael says it's very simple. Have these people arrested. Maybe if they get a felony attached to them or put on the no-fly list, this BS will stop. For not wearing a mask, Michael, you want to go this far? Because a two-year-old didn't want to wear a mask, you now want to put the entire family on a no-fly list? That's got to be one of the dumbest freaking things I've ever heard in my life. Joseph said that's a crazy issue. The issue is absolutely unacceptable as an issue. They should fix this issue immediately. This issue shouldn't even be an issue. It shouldn't be an issue, Joseph. It shouldn't be an issue at all. And I know Joseph's actually taking the side of the FAA right now, saying that this shouldn't be an issue. No, Joseph, what shouldn't be an issue is the tyrannical overreach that now the FAA and the airlines are participating in. What shouldn't be an issue is the fact that a two-year-old doesn't want to wear a mask. You're right. That shouldn't be an issue at all. I don't actually know what side Joseph's taking here, but as far as I'm concerned, the issue I see here is that none of this should be an issue at all. Jerry's absolutely right. Remove the mask mandates. Molly says, how are they supposed to do that? How about making flights more enjoyable and less tense instead of more intense? Maybe happier and more relaxed passengers would equate to less disturbances. And that is the story of our life. We are on freaking edge right now. We are on edge right now, and we are sick of the tyrannical overreach. We are done with it. We are so sick of this nonsense. And just when you thought we may be seeing a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel, here we are back to school with the kids, and schools all over the state are starting to go into quarantine again. Notice, after they just all got their tax money. Taxes were paid a couple weeks ago for the new school year, and all of a sudden, one by one, we are now starting to see these kids go back into quarantine once again. Now, the public sector can get away with it because they got their money. The private sector, however, I don't think they stand a chance. I hope these airlines go broke. They can barely survive 2 days off during a winter storm without going bankrupt. I have no idea what the hell they're thinking right now. Why they think they can impose these mask mandates and get away with it without losing a ridiculous amount of revenue, so much that it could send them into bankruptcy. So I hope it happens to these people. I really do. I hope passengers stick it to the airlines by saying, I'm not flying with you. Personally, I haven't flown commercial once since I've moved back, and I refuse to at this point. I'd rather pay more to fly myself or private than give these tyrannical assholes one more single penny of my hard-earned money, because I do not agree with this and I do not support it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We have a lot more to get through. Immigration. Biden is releasing tens of thousands of Haitians. You know all those Haitians that were under the bridge just a few days ago? Guess what? They're all in the United States right now. Biden is destroying this country one illegal immigrant at a time. We'll be right back.
You Made It Political would not have been possible without this book right here, Expert Secrets, by my man, Russell Brunson. Russell Brunson wrote this book to help people like you and I become leaders in our space, to gain an audience and a public following that respects, loves, and watches our shows on a daily basis. Expert Secrets will help you find your voice and give you the confidence to become a leader. It'll show you how to build a mass movement of people whose lives you can affect. And most importantly, it'll teach you how to become an expert authority in your field where people actually pay you for your advice. The best part about Expert Secrets is it's absolutely free. You just pay for shipping. Whether you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, a podcaster, or a live YouTube streamer, you want to grab a copy of this book. It'll teach you everything from building your audience to driving traffic to making this a full-time job so you can get paid for your passion.
Welcome back to You Made It Political, where the voice of the keyboard warrior is finally heard and the arguments presented are put to the political test. And now, here's your host, Matt Clark.
All right, guys, welcome back to the show. Before we get back into it, just a quick shout out to all of you who are watching this live right now. Thank you so much for your support. You guys absolutely make my morning. I love doing these shows. I love that you join me here. Thank you so much. Jill Ann, Cindy Trainer, Edward, Don Kelly, Cindy, John Rogers, Ryan Sloan. Thanks for all the comments, man. I really appreciate that. Meg, Gina, welcome to the show. Frank, thanks, buddy. I appreciate you joining me. Tom Simmons is watching. Tom, how you doing, man? It's good to see you also on this show. And once again, like I said, I appreciate all of you guys tuning in. We go live here every single morning, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Tell your friends, liberals, Republicans, conservatives, I don't care. Let everybody know. They need to hear this stuff. We spent the first half of the show discussing the fact that America is no longer land of the free, and we are definitely not home of the brave. I mean, we lost that privilege card the second we allowed this democratic and very totalitarian and authoritarian government to lock us down a year and a half ago. The second we allowed these lockdowns to even happen, we stopped being land of the free. I mean, we are going to be Australia soon. We're going to be Canada soon. We're going to be the UK soon. So we spoke about in the first segment of the show that the FAA is now coming down in the airlines and saying, hey, you better get a handle on these little two-year-olds not wearing masks, or we're going to come in and do something about it. And we want to see stricter and harsher arrests, and we want to see you guys do something if it even means putting them on the no-fly list. So this is where we are in America right now, that airlines are happy to comply to this tyrannical overreach and listen to the FAA's advice of maybe putting these little two-year-olds on a no-fly list because they have special needs and can't wear a mask. The whole thing is freaking disgusting. It's insane. But America, we've let this happen. There's no one to blame but yourselves or anybody who has allowed this. This is what happens when you don't stand up to this tyranny in the beginning and put your foot down. So it's not just the airlines that are ruining people's lives. Biden and his illegal immigration is getting so out of control again. I mean, since Biden took office, there isn't a single thing that he's done right. And illegal immigration is also one of those things. I mean, we've seen, millions at this point. Let's be honest. We're going to see the full impact or the full effect of this thing probably in about 5 to 6 years, maybe 10 years. All of these illegal immigrants coming in, mooching off the system. Thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands of all the Haitians that have been seeking refuge under the Texas overpass that we've all seen in the news have now been released into the U.S. because Biden refuses to admit that Trump's Remain in Mexico policy was a good thing for America. He refuses to admit it. Biden refuses to admit, and the Democrats, that anything Trump did was actually a good thing for the American people. So the Democrats are sticking to their guns. They would rather release thousands of Haitian migrants into U.S. despite assuring us border lie. He basically lied, borderline lied again. He assured us that we would send these people home, that they would be put on planes. Well, about 12, 13 days ago, that's what the Biden administration was doing. They were putting all of these people on planes by the thousands a day and sending them back home. Well, they stopped that, which is why the tens of thousands of Haitians started showing up seeking refugee under the bridge. That's why it's happened. Ted Cruz went down. I did a live on it a few days ago, and Ted Cruz is there filming the chaos. Why did Ted Cruz have to go down there? Well, because that was the day that Biden said, I don't want any drone footage of what's going on down there. And he put pressure on the FAA to restrict airspace only over the bridge, by the way. Not like all of Texas, but only over the overpass. That was it. So all of a sudden, there was a no-fly zone, a temporary flight restriction put up over the one overpass. I mean, you do this stuff in communist China. For those of you who are just joining me, I spoke about the fact that I lived in China for 10 years. I get it. It's allowed in China. They're a communist country. You can't argue with it. But we're supposed to be a free country here. You can't just block the press from reporting your inability to control an immigration issue. I mean, we, the American people, who pay our taxes, who pay our government official salaries, we deserve to see what's going on. We deserve to see how you're governing. And that includes the good and the bad. Well, Biden didn't like that because for some reason the Democrats don't think they have to abide by the Constitution because they never do. And they spend their entire 4 years in office trying to rewrite it, which they never succeed, but they try. And then they want to shut down the press. So what you're looking at here is just absolute turmoil in Texas. We're on a very, very large scale now, 15, 20,000 more people who were seeking refugee under a Texas overpass are now being released, not back to Mexico, but into the United States. So we have a real issue on our hands here, people. Despite the Biden administration claiming Haitians camped in a Texas border town faced expulsion. So this is what Biden's claiming, that they faced expulsion. Thousands are actually being let into the United States, two officials told the Associated Press. Many of the thousands have been released into the country with notices. This is the funny part. With notices to appear at an immigration court within 60 days. Like, we're ever going to see these freaking people again. Hey, guys, you're not supposed to be here, but we're going to let you in. You go do your thing. When you get a letter to us in 60 days, which we know the letter's never going to make. What address are they sending this letter to, by the way? Where are they sending a letter? Oh, yeah. Just go ahead and write down your address for me. Okay. 1-2. Thanks, buddy. Avenue. I mean, this is how stupid these people running the show are right now. That they just expect these Haitians who are seeking asylum, who just left the most horrific conditions they've ever seen in their life, fleeing their home countries, and Biden and the Democrats think they're just going to write down their real address so you can send them a letter to then come back and appear in court. You're never seeing these people again. Are you kidding me? They are so deep within the United States right now. God knows where they've all made it to. I mean, you can get from California to New York in a matter of 3 days. Two if you drive straight through. I mean, these illegal immigrants are so embedded into the United States right now that there's no way we're ever going to hear from them again unless they finally get found and deported, which we know we don't have the manpower for. This is why Governor Abbott is taking it upon himself to now build the wall. Just a couple days ago, he said, listen, I'm done with Biden. I'm building the wall myself. I'm not waiting anymore. He then seeks to get $3 billion from Texas. They'll pass that bill with flying colors. You know they will. He'll get his money, and they're going to build that damn wall. He doesn't care what Biden has to say about anything more, because Biden's not the one down in Texas that has to deal with all this. They're in Washington, and they're in his cozy little White House, sleeping like a baby, probably four times a day because he needs his three naps, while families in Texas struggle, while they risk their lives to deal with the drug cartels, while there's such a raging border crisis that all of us as the American people are going to start to see the effects of within a very few short years. But see, the Democrats and the elites don't care. And a lot of the Republicans at this point still don't care, because we know most of them are taking the side of the Democrats. So let's not let the Republicans off the hook either. They're the ones very much to blame as well. I'd like to see Ted Cruz do more than just go down there and shoot a video and play journalist. And I know he's trying, but we need more out of the Republicans as well. Because this country is getting overrun with drugs from the cartels that are coming in, overrun from illegal immigrants who are going to start taking all the jobs that maybe we can have high school students do, or people who are just unable to get jobs in other sectors, maybe they can do. Or worse, they're going to start rinsing off of our medical system, mooch off it, get their free health care, and then maybe return when they're done. You have to remember, we don't deny anybody health care treatment here in the United States. It's not like China, where if I get hit by a car and I'm on my deathbed, if you don't pay, you're not getting seen. You will die in the lobby, which, by the way, I actually experienced while I was there. Somebody was hit in an intersection in Shanghai. I literally picked this guy up, put him into a taxi with someone else, brought him to the hospital. We had to run around and go get money to pay for him to be x-rayed, to start whatever they needed to do with him. Well, in the States, we're not as inhumane as that. Thank God. Thank God. Because I would hate for anybody to be denied medical treatment here in the United States. I appreciate the fact that we treat everybody, no questions asked. But we're only able to afford that because we're treating people who pay their fair share. As soon as you start letting in 20, 30, 40 million illegal immigrants who start rinsing off the system, guess what? Hardworking taxpayers like you and I, who pay an insane amount of health insurance. I don't know about you, but my health insurance is ridiculous because I work for myself. I don't get a company to pay for it. And I pay for health insurance I never use. I hate going to the doctor. I mean, I have to be unconscious and not breathing to go to the hospital, or a broken limb, or need surgery. But other than that, I'm not going anywhere near a freaking doctor, especially today with how ridiculous they're all acting over coronavirus. I mean, you go there for a freaking broken arm and you're going to get a COVID test. So as long as these illegal immigrants are coming into this country, affecting our healthcare system, rinsing our healthcare system, getting their free surgeries, getting their free everything, ultimately it's going to take a toll on us. How do I know that? Well, because it's happened in the United Kingdom. The NHS is broke. It's a very socialist way of it's socialist medicine there. They don't have to pay for it. And it worked for a while the Brits were paying their fair share, while they were paying their taxes. But then all the illegal immigrants came in. They started rinsing off the NHS, literally sending money back home. And the NHS went broke. And the UK had enough, and they voted out of the European Union. I've said it a million times, people. You don't need a crystal ball to know what's going to happen next here in the United States. All you got to do is look at the UK and Europe, and you'll have a very good idea as to where we are headed. This country is headed towards socialism. And if we don't put the brakes on it, we're headed towards communism. So many of the thousands have been released into the country with notice to appear at an immigration court, like that's going to ever happen, within 60 days. Expulsion flights back to Haiti started on Sunday, and more than 500 had been removed, according to Reuters. 500, there were over 15,000 people under that overpass. So they started flights back to, first of all, who's paying for all these flights? We're flying these planes all over the world, detained evacuate refugees from Afghanistan, which 37,000, by the way, have now entered the United States and are being placed throughout each state. California gets 54, Texas gets 45, New York gets 1,100, Florida gets 1,200. We know what the Democrats are doing. They're placing these refugees in states accordingly to try to keep blue states blue and try to flip red states blue. It's very clever how they're using our tax dollars to guarantee they win future reelections. So these deportation flights started a few days ago on Sunday. Only 500 people have actually been deported. So when Jen Psaki gets up there and tries to tell us, oh, we're deporting people, they're going back, they're not allowed to stay, it's a lie. It's a downright lie. They've deported 500 people, which is like what? A flight and a half. And the rest have been released into the United States, and all in good faith that they show up to their immigration date within 60 days. And that's only if they get a letter. So back in Port-au-Prince, many of the departed Haitians expressed their anger. Tough. I mean, you came here illegally. Bye. And some migrants tried unsuccessfully to get back on a plane returning to the United States. So the very few people that we did kick out, they tried to actually get back on the plane as the plane was making its return flight back to the U.S. unsuccessfully. One Haitian even had the audacity to say, I'm angry at the Haitian government. Another deported migrant told Reuters, we were told that the Haitian government had signed to send us back to Haiti. They are all bad people. The Haitian government doesn't have a choice. Yeah, you need to get out of here. You need to beat it, guys. You're not here legally. So then they got all pissed off at their own government because the Haitian government signed off on the fact that, yeah, we need to send them back. So the DHS, the Department of Health Services, confirmed to Fox News Tuesday that three U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers were injured after two separate disruptions by Haitian migrants when they deplaned on the tarmac in Port-au-Prince. The injuries were not life-threatening. So we now have very hostile Haitians, and this is in their own country getting off the plane. Can you imagine how hostile they're going to be in our own country? So we have a raging border crisis. We know that we can't get a grip on it, and Biden refuses to reinstate Trump's Remain in Mexico policy. So Jim Jordan actually nailed it on the head. This is the deal right now, people. Biden is not willing to accept that Trump was right. Trump's been right about a lot of stuff. He's been right about pretty much everything. And again, I'm not sitting here trying to toot Trump's own horn because you know he does a lot of that himself. But let's be honest here. There's a lot that this man did very, very well. And this country does need, whether it's Trump or DeSantis, we need to take back control of either the White House or, at the very least, the Senate or the House of Representatives in 2022. Otherwise, we're just going to see these guys obliterate this economy, annihilate America right before our eyes. Like I said in the beginning of the show, and I'm not afraid to admit it, this country has gone to shit. It's not home of the brave, land of the free anymore. It's America the broken. This country is broken, and if we don't fix it now, it's going to be broken beyond repair. And Rep. Jim Jordan is absolutely right. On the border crisis, the White House is not willing to embrace the policies that work. And they were Trump-like policies that worked. Why are they so afraid to admit defeat? Their arrogance and ignorance to admit that they have been wrong on so many levels is really what's destroying this economy right now. And it's going to catch up to you in the workplace. It's going to catch up to your industry at some point. These industries are going into bankruptcy one by one. And even the government sector is not safe at this place. A lot of people think, well, the government sector is going to always be safe. It's not. Because the Democrats are now voting to raise the debt ceiling. If they do that and they actually get away with it, I'm telling you right now, it's game over for everybody. We will default as a country, which we've never done in history. We will default. And I'll touch on that in just a second. But Jim Jordan, back to the fact that the Democrats can never admit that they are wrong and that Trump's been right about pretty much everything. Jim Jordan issued several remarks in an interview on Monday, slamming the Biden administration's handling of the border crisis this week. The White House is not willing to embrace the policies that work, Jordan said. Among those are two Trump-era initiatives, building the wall along the southern border and enforcing the Remain in Mexico policy, which curbed illegal immigration. You got to go back to the policies that worked, said Jim Jordan. They don't have to call it President Trump's policies. Just go back to the policies that work. That's how you deal with this. You have to send a message from the White House, from the Oval Office, Jordan continued. Jordan elaborated on the statistics from the past few months that showed record-breaking amounts of illegal immigrant encounters at the border. March, he noted, saw the largest number of encounters in decades and was surpassed in each subsequent month until August. So basically, every single month is getting worse and worse and worse, where statistics dipped only slightly to about 208,000 encounters. That's our dip to slightly 208,000 encounters. This all is what is now, and Biden himself has admitted it, is going to send this country into the worst recession we have ever seen in our lifetime. And he still wants to raise the debt ceiling. Biden now, which is so ironic and ridiculous that he's the one, the very person who has destroyed America, who has come out with every America Last executive order after order, after he's done all of this, locked us down, destroyed our children's lives, destroyed families' lives who have to now take care of their children every time our kids are quarantined because he and the teachers' unions can't get over the fact that the flu is here to stay. And they refuse to let it go. So they continue to destroy America over coronavirus, over illegal immigration. He wants to spend trillions of dollars after trillions of dollars. He wants another $3.5 trillion. He wants to raise the debt ceiling. All of this is going to send this country into the worst recession any of us have seen in our lifetime. And it's not just the private sector that's going to be affected. I'll tell you right now, the government sector will get destroyed over this. If you work in government and you think you're safe, think again. As of August, the Treasury Department was expected to keep the government solvent for 2 or 3 months. Only 2 or 3 months. That's how much cash flow the government has right now. 2 to 3 months. However, the United States may risk defaulting on its debt for the first time in history. History. If Congress does not soon amend the debt limit. Raising or suspending the debt limit does not authorize new spending commitments. It simply enables the government to pay for its obligations that Congress and presidents of both parties have already approved. This includes President Trump, even President Obama. Whatever has been authorized or approved needs to get paid. We expect Congress to act promptly to raise or suspend the debt limit and protect the full faith and credit of the United States, just as it did in a bipartisan fashion 3 times during the prior administration and about 80 times since 1960. The problem is, we are so broke right now. This is a letter that the Democrats are trying to send to justify raising the debt ceiling, which, by the way, the House passed last night, but there's no way it will get through Republicans. Meanwhile, Republicans in Congress are forcing Democrats to own the higher debt ceiling alongside of their $3.5 trillion social welfare bill. They've changed the name on this bill like a freaking million times just to try to sell it to people. I love how it was originally the infrastructure bill. Do you remember that when the bill first came out? It was the $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill because Biden was claiming we need new roads and bridges, but like 6% was actually for roads and bridges. So we're like, get the hell out of here with that BS, okay? And now he's, and the whole thing was, we're going to have to raise capital gains tax to pay for it, by the way. So everyone's like, no thanks. So that didn't work. So now they're like, wait a second. We need a new spin on this. We need to kind of, what can we do to get people to buy into this ridiculous $3.5 trillion spending bill? Oh, I know. Let's scare the elderly into the fact that Social Security is about to go bankrupt. Yeah, let's do that. So now they're calling it the Social Security bill. the social welfare bill. It's now called the $3.5 trillion social welfare bill, which Democratic leadership plans to pass through budget reconciliation without any Republican support. You better believe we're not going to get support. The current national debt right now, people, is $28.7 trillion. So when the Democrats try to throw this in our face and say, hey, listen, we expect this to pass just like it did in Trump era, just like it did in Obama and in Bush and all 80 times since 1960. Nice try, Democrats. We weren't in a raging pandemic that you instigated, influenced, and scared the American people into going crazy over. We didn't have a raging border crisis like we do today. We weren't at an all-time high of illegal immigrations. And we certainly didn't have the national debt at $28.7 trillion. You combine all of that with raising the ceiling. Remember, the politicians, they may still get their paycheck. A few government officials may still get their paycheck. Half these guys already have enough money to live for the rest of their lives. Doesn't matter to them. Doesn't matter that people like you and I will suffer the greatest catastrophic financial downturn this economy has ever seen. They don't care about that. As long as they raise the debt ceiling so they can continue to get paid. Remember, the U.S. government right now only has enough money to pay for 2 to 3 months cash flow for the entire country. The entire freaking country. So isn't it ironic? Isn't it ironic that the very person who has destroyed this country is now warning us of a recession? I mean, Joe, no shit. We've been telling you this for the last few months. We've been telling you every spending spree after spending spree that you're going to screw this economy up. Inflation's already through the roof. If we raise that debt ceiling, guess what else is going to happen? Interest is going to have to be raised because the government's going to need to get that money back somehow. No more 0% interest. What's that going to do to people's mortgages who are on a variable or a flex? Mortgage is going to go through the roof. And guess what? We are going to see 2008 all over again. Remember the property bubble back in 2008? Guess what? That's right around the corner. So save your cash, people. Save your cash because Joe Biden and the Democrats are about to show you the worst recession ever.
Thanks for listening to You Made It Political with Matt Clark. Be sure to like, follow, or subscribe to the show. Or leave us a review on iTunes. And if you like our show or want to know more, check out YouMadeItPolitical.com.